Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of Mark, chapter 10. Mark, chapter 10. Certainly a good place to be this morning. I know got a lot of concern in the building and also, you know, just a lot of emotions. And we certainly must be much in prayer one for another. Lord, we're blessed and good service this morning. We're glad to see the visitors that come this way. It's a privilege to have you here, and we trust as you leave, you'll be able to say it's been good to be here. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord and in His presence. I do ask for you to pray for me this morning. Mark chapter 10. We'll begin reading with verse 23. And Jesus looked round about and said unto His disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at His words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, "Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." They were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." We'll cease reading with these verses. And this morning I'm going to get ahead of myself and let you know I want to preach on the endless possibilities that we find in Christ. That even as mentioned here, with God all things are possible. Everything is possible with God. Even as Jesus would say, if you had faith the grain of a mustard seed, you could pray that the mountain would be uprooted and would be moved and that could happen. That all things are possible with Christ. We see things in Scripture, you know, and many things that are impossible with man. Well, when we go and look in Scripture, We live in a world who wants to forget God. We live in a time where people want to remove God from the picture altogether. That the creation wants to serve the creation and forget about the Creator. It's in our schools. It's in, you know, our government. It's in the news media. It's everywhere you look. Let's remove God. Let's get the Creator out of the picture. And let's look at everything through science. Let's look at everything through, a lot of times science is just an educated guess. They claim to be science, and yet, you know, just a hypothesis, an idea that somebody come up with. And yet, man is at the point where we want to look at everything through the ideas of smart men, and let's completely forget about God. So man reads the Bible, and they want to apply man's logic. And if that's the case, and we totally remove God out of it, just let's look at everything with man's logic, then this is just going to end up being a fairy tale. That's what people's going to believe. Not that it will. It'll be the truth, Brother Jake, whether we accept it or not. But we're coming to a time where men have tried to take God out of everything, and this word, you know, it really means nothing. And the people say, well, it's a good history book. Or it's good to look at. It's a good read. I don't know who would say that. The Bible's not just a good read. For the most part, if you read it and you're not looking to the Lord, it's going to be a boring book to look at. But whenever you look at it and God is leading you and His Spirit's leading you, then it becomes something that we hunger after. It's something that we want more and more of, because it's constantly, it's the living Word. And, you know, we would never be able to fully comprehend everything that's in His pages. And yet, you know, when a society says we're going to just uproot God, then, you know, it's impossible. Some of the things we read in Scripture, it's impossible for this world to have been created by the words of a Creator. So we've got to put in, you know, some kind of man's logic, and so we come up with, well, evolution. And that used to be the biggest joke. You know, just 10, 15, 20 years ago, evolution was the biggest joke around. And now it's being accepted as fact. It's the truth that we must have evolved from some other lower life form. And that's what the world wants to do is, well, we can't believe in God, and so there has to be some kind of logical explanation, so apparently we come from monkeys or something else. It's impossible, you know, whenever you think about just strictly from what a man is capable of, it's impossible, Brother Freddie, to load up all the animals of the world, two by two and seven of some, and load them up on a boat. I mean, it's just, it would be impossible to do that. I mean, to go to all the corners of the world and get every animal that they are and to take and put two of them on and off, that's impossible. Only God could make that happen. And a person that's willing to trust God, they can just accept that God can do it where man cannot do it. You know, it's impossible for the Red Sea or the Jordan River to just split in two while thousands of people walk through on dry ground. That's impossible. Man can't do that. And to try to look at it and say, well, you know, that just looks like an impossibility, so I can't believe that. Well, that's what we come to when we want to take God out of everything. Well, listen, with God, it's possible. With God, it's possible, and it did happen, but you take God out, well, that's just, it's impossible for that to happen. It's impossible that an army would march around a city, a great walled city like Jericho, and just march around and then blow your trumpets and all the whole wall comes tumbling down. That's really impossible for that to happen, but God was behind that. God was behind those footsteps. God was behind the blowing of the trumpet. And so they had to fall because God made it happen. So with God, these things become possible. But without God, it's impossible for just a man-made God. We go back and read in Scriptures a God named Dagon. And, you know, again, man built him, but they worshiped him. He's our God. And at one point that they brought, they captured the Ark of the Covenant, and they brought it in beside their God, and Dagon fell over. I mean, that shouldn't happen. I mean, so, well, that maybe that was coincidence. Maybe they didn't have him stable. And so they prop him back up. And no doubt they probably take great efforts to make sure this never happens again. That's embarrassing for your God to fall over in the presence of another God. And so they prop him back up. And the Bible says they left and they come back. And their God had fell over and broke off into a stump. That's power. And that's real, but the word said, well, that it couldn't happen that way. You know, from a human point of view, there's many things that men did in Scripture that's absolutely impossible. You know, it's impossible for a man to have control over the weather simply by a good prayer life, that a man could pray, God, please don't let it rain, and God would stop the rain and go 3.5 years that way until he's got the intention of the entire world, and then say, God, let it rain again, and pray that 7 times, and the rain comes. It's impossible for a man to have control over the rain. At least that's the way we see it. But with God, all of a sudden it becomes extremely possible. It's impossible for man to kill 500 men with the jawbone of an ass. You would think after a while that 500 men could have got control of Samson. If he had been a normal man, it really wouldn't matter his size. It wouldn't matter what he's able to bench press. It wouldn't matter how mean of a man he is. If you have 500 men that jump on top of him, sooner or later, they're going to get control of him. Unless God's behind it. And if God's behind it, that changes everything. It's impossible to simply throw a limb. You go and read the story of Elisha and how that he threw a limb into the water. And because he did that, that an iron axe head swam. That's impossible. As simple as that sounds, it's impossible. For us. What I want to know is this. Are we going to believe God or not? That's what I want you to ask yourself this morning. Are you going to believe God or not? Because we're living in a time where we're having these little ideas come along. And more we're kind of cashing in on these little ideas. More and more, we're accepting things. More and more, we're looking at the world and we're saying, well, that makes sense. Bible says deceivers are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Some of them are so good, they're deceiving themselves. They're going to be worse and worse. They wasn't very good at it whenever I was in high school and tell me that, well, evolution, we come from monkeys. They wasn't very good at it. People laughed. Teachers rolled their eyes. They hated to teach that subject because it was so foolish. Now more and more people are looking at that and say, well, they might be something to it. This morning, I want us to understand something. Either he is God or he's not. Either he can do all things or he can do nothing. If God is limited, then he's really not much of a God. He's either able to deliver men from a fiery furnace or he can't. He either measured out the waters in the hollow of his hand, or he didn't. He either measured out to heaven with a span, or really he can't do that. Well, we can't have it both ways. We either believe the truth or we believe a lie. We can't have it both ways. And so this morning, I want to just remind you, all things are possible to God, or nothing is. Either everything's possible to him or nothing is. I hear people that want to pick apart and say, well, I believe this about Scripture, but I'm not sure about that. I believe that Jesus lived a perfect life. He was the Son of God. He died on the cross. But I'm having trouble believing that He was resurrected the third day. Listen, He can either do it all or He can't do any of it. We can't have it both ways. Look at Luke 19. Let's begin reading with verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see. Did you get that now? He was rich. We just read about how it's basically impossible for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. But here we have a rich man. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and he came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. With Jesus, the possibilities are endless. A publican can be saved. A rich publican can be saved. So not only was he a publican, which was the worst of the worst, a traitor to his own people. No one liked a publican. But he was a rich one. And Jesus saved him, no problem. A thief dying on a cross. You know, you look at someone that's on death row because they're a thief, murderer maybe. You look at them and say, I tell you what, I feel sorry for those people. There's really no hope for them. But there was. That hope was Jesus. Really, it'd be impossible any other way, but Jesus was there. And Jesus can fix things that man cannot fix. He can save us, but we can't save ourselves. So He saves a thief, no problem. He saves a harlot. He saved me. If He can save me, He can save anybody. But you know, it's not possible for man to save themselves. If you're here and you're lost, you say, I've been trying to get saved. I want to get saved. I'm trying. It's impossible for you to save yourself. But with God, it's possible. If you're unsaved here this morning, I want you to understand it is possible for you to walk out of this building saved this morning. It's possible. Now, you may have convinced yourself, look, I can't get saved. I'm not going to get saved. Maybe you've convinced yourself it's impossible for me to get saved. Maybe other people can get saved, but it's impossible for me. But it's not impossible for Christ to save you. It's not. Now this morning, you cannot buy your way. It's impossible for, if you notice in the book of Mark, he says, a man that trusts in his riches. It's impossible for one to trust in his riches. But if a rich man would trust in Christ, he would be saved. You cannot map out your own course to heaven. A lot of people say, well, I'm going to get there the best way I know how. No, you're not. We're all trying to get to heaven, and we may all be taking different paths, but we all going to end up the same place then, though. There's only one way. to say that in our day and time, that makes you kind of an extremist. But that's fine. You look at Jesus, he was an extremist, really. By man's standards, he was. I didn't write the book. I didn't make the plan. God did. And God's always had one way, and that way is Jesus. So you can't map out your own course to heaven. You can't think your way to heaven. You can't live good enough to be saved. But this morning, if you can surrender and trust Jesus, the impossible will become possible. What seems maybe to be an impossibility this morning, it'll become possible. It's as simple as believing in Jesus. It's as simple as laying everything on Him and saying, I'm going to let Him take care of all of it. I'm lost, but I'm going to let Christ take care of it. He already has. He came to make the impossible possible. He came to us because we are powerless to come to Him. He paid all our sin debt because you may think, well, I tell you, I've been a pretty good person. I've been in church all my life. I try to do good. I give offering. I do all these things. I've been a church member. He paid all of our sin debt because we are spiritually bankrupt. We're broke. We have nothing to offer. Even our righteousness is as filthy rags. We have nothing to offer Him. You say, well, I've done pretty good. I've tried to be a good moral citizen. But you're broke. You're broke. The Lord died for us. He'll save you if you'll trust Him. He'll make it possible. Where without Him, it is impossible. So this morning, consider what you already believe in Christ. What do you already believe about God? Did He create the world? Or did we come from monkeys? What did we evolve? Did we come from one-celled organisms? What do you believe? I trust everybody here will believe that God created heaven and earth. Everybody here believe that. God created heaven and earth. So, okay, if you believe that, what do you believe? Did He create you? Did He split the Red Sea open? Did He hold all the water in the hollow of His hand? Measured it out, measured everything out. That's it. All the hills He placed in balances. Did He do all that? When you look at Him, did He lead Israel out of Egypt by a mighty hand? All those plagues. Did that really happen? Is this really the truth? Is He really God? Can He save sinners? It's possible for you to be saved. It's possible. It's what I just mentioned. So I believe that God is God. Man says that's impossible. I believe that He did split the Red Sea open, man walked through on dry ground. That's impossible. You say, I'm lost today and I want to be saved, but it just seems like I can't get saved. But it is possible. It's possible. If you'll trust in Him, He'll show you. So I ask you, what's the hold up? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, according to the Word, anyone that'll believe in Jesus, anyone that'll trust Him as Savior, they'll be saved. you know, you can take and you can take a Coke bottle and you can turn that thing clockwise as long as you want to turn it. And it's impossible to open. Because you're turning it the wrong way. But you can turn around and turn it the other way. If you got enough strength after you've tightened it, you can open it up because you're turning it the right way. You can try to get saved until you walk your last day on earth. You can try to get saved. And you can try to do it every way that you know how. And it'd be the wrong way. And you end up dying lost. But you can turn around and do it God's way. And you can surrender and let go of everything and just trust in Jesus. And the moment you do that, He'll save you. And He will save you to the uttermost. It's impossible for man, but it is completely possible with Christ if you'll trust Him. We'll ask for a song.